Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, reading verse 28 through 34. And we read this last week, but I have some more comments I'd like to make. And this is part 10 of my series, Fulfilled and Astonished. And today we're finishing out chapter 8 of Matthew, and next time we'll be in chapter 9. But it says in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 8, "And when Jesus was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer or allow us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place or off a cliff into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of devils." And verse 34, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts." Heavenly Father, we need thee. As the old hymn says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. And certainly, Lord, in this hour, in this minute, as I record, and as the people listen this Sunday morning, help us to see Jesus. Help us to understand the Word of God. Teach us and feed us bread from heaven, O God. Open the eyes of our understanding as Paul prayed and as I've often referenced. Please help us today. And we thank you, Lord, in that matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I preach, I want to make an announcement. All next week, I'll be preaching a camp meeting in Watson, Louisiana. If you go to Denham Springs and then go further north, about 10 miles, there's Watson. And the meetings will be held at Redeemed Fellowship Church, again, in Watson, Louisiana. I'll be the afternoon speaker, Wednesday, Thursday, possibly Friday, and again on Saturday. I don't expect anybody to drive an hour and a half just to hear me preach. The evening speakers are going to be pretty good, but you've heard me teach every week. And actually, I'm teaching some of the same stuff I taught 3 years ago on this station. But please pray for us. Again, Do you know how I preach? I'll be teaching the same messages, the same way. The evening speakers will be there. And we're asking for a touch of the Holy Spirit. That just as I prayed a bit ago, that the Holy Spirit would take the Word of God that's preached and touch the hearts of those in attendance. If you're interested about the camp meeting, you can go to ladistrictpcg.org and go to the events page, and you'll see the camp meeting advertised. But let's go ahead and get into our teaching today. Again, we looked at this last week. We talked about the demon-possessed men, and we said that after Jesus delivered them, that the tenders, the pig farmers, whatever, they turned tail and ran, went back to the city, complained, hey, this Jesus guy came, and you know we raised those pigs for money, and we put a little bit into the church offering every Saturday, or the synagogue offering, whatever. Well, we're not going to be able to do that no more because our pigs are dead. And the whole town came out and chased Jesus off, told him to get back in his boat and go back where he came from. And we talked about the backstory in Numbers chapter 32, how the tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, they said, no, we don't want the promised land. And it was their heritage. And rejecting the things of God, rejecting the gifts of God, the promises of God, that was their heritage. And when God came to this earth, born in a manger, when He came down from heaven and rode up in that boat or sailed up, whatever, to their country, to their tribe, they didn't want to have anything to do with Him. They rejected the Lord of glory, the King of Israel, when He came to take account. They rejected Him. And it's a wonderful thing when God comes to visit you, to your town, or to your life, and you say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'd like to look at three passages. I don't have the time. I'd like to take a couple of hours and teach my lesson. I don't have the time. But I want to at least hit two passages, if I could. And again, I don't have the time. In John chapter 4, we read about the time that Jesus, He must needs go to Samaria. He had to go to Samaria. He had to minister to those people. And when He got there, He talked to the woman at the well. And I've taught this before. You've heard about the woman at the well. But a brief recap. She was a Samaritan. She was not really an Israelite. Certainly not from Judea. Never went to the temple. They had their own schism, their own division. They started their own denomination, if you will. And they worshiped at another place. They worshiped God, but in another place. They had different practices. They had their own priests. And Jesus said they really didn't know what they were worshiping. They really didn't know what they were talking about. But He preached Christ, and she received Him. It says in verse 28 again of John chapter 4 that she left her water pot, had a bucket, went to the well, going to draw water, what have you. She forgot all about that. She found the living water that began to flow in her soul. And she just as these pig farmers, she went to her city. And just as they told the story, she told hers. And she said, come see a man. Come see the prophet of Israel. He told me all things I ever did. Isn't this the Messiah, the Christ? And it says that those men too of that city went out to meet him. But the response was completely different. It says in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him not that he would depart their coasts, but that he would tarry with them, that he would stay a while. And it says that he said, okay, I'll stay 2 days. And many more believed on him because of his own word. And they said to the woman, yeah, we heard what you said and we believe, but we really believe now. We heard him with our own ears. We've heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. My cry, my prayer, is that when I preach or teach or testify or write something, whatever, that God would use me, that those listening, that those hearing what I have to say would say the same thing. They would meet Christ. They would believe on him and know in their heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's my prayer. That's my groaning. That people would see Christ. That people would see Christ. You understand the difference. You understand the contrast between these people that said, hey, Jesus, get back in your boat. We don't want you. And these Samaritans that said, oh, can you stay another couple of days? We want to hear more. And we believe that you're the Savior of the world. Do you see the contrast? I preached a series last year entitled The Entrance of Thy Word Giveth Light. And I don't have time to go over it again. And I talked about King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22. That they found the Bible after something like 18 years. He was king for like 18 years or some long period of time. And then they found the Bible, and they said, oh no, what are we going to do? And they were convicted of their sin. And the prophet came and said, you're all a bunch of sinners. You're all going to die. You're going to perish. Your nation's going to be forfeit. Oh, what do we do? Oh, what do we do? But I contrasted Josiah with Ezra and Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we talked about when they had a copy of the Word of God, that Ezra and the other guys that stood with him, they had a camp meeting too, and for 2 days they preached, I guess, morning, noon, and night. They taught the Word of God. It says that they gave the sense and caused people to understand. And they wanted more. They wanted more. Again, contrast. Will you receive him? Or will you reject? That's the contrast. But if you would, let's take a look at Luke chapter 4. I'd love to read the entire chapter. There's a lot here. But again, I don't have time. I'll have to summarize. It says, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Or, duh, he went 40 days without food, and then he was starving. And at his point of weakness, 40 days with no food, the devil came and tempted him. And again, we've all heard this sermon. You hungry, Jesus? If you're the Son of God, command this stone to be turned into bread. Three temptations, but each time Jesus answered him, it is written. It's in the Bible. Read it and believe it. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Again, three temptations. I won't go through them. But we understand that he was tempted in the wilderness, and he defeated the devil by quoting the word of God, and by standing on it, and by believing it. And oh, by the way, he wrote it. He's God. He inspired it. And if God come in the flesh, who wrote the word of God, depended upon it when he got into trouble, shouldn't we do the same thing? Shouldn't we depend upon our Bibles? Shouldn't we depend upon what it tells us to do and what it promises if we'll do it? But it says in verse 14, again of Luke chapter 4, that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And it says that he taught in his synagogues, and he came to Nazareth, and Saturday came around, and as his custom was, in verse 16, that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And when the rabbi said, okay, Jesus, come on up, it says he turned to Isaiah. And he began to read, and the passage said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Just as we saw that he returned in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, or empowered me, with the power of God, with the Spirit of God. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now Isaiah's passage goes on, but he stopped there. He closed the book. He sat down. And it says that everybody was looking at him, and they said in their hearts that, man, those are wonderful things that he said. I mean, he was reading Isaiah, but wow, these things are fulfilled in your ears, he said, and wow, we believe that. We believe that. Hey, isn't that Joseph's son, that carpenter? And in verse 23, he said unto them, you will surely say to me this proverb or saying, physician, heal thyself. You claim you're a doctor, then when you get sick, take some out of your bag and heal yourself. Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your hometown. And he said, truly I say, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And that's true. If you want to make it big and make a splash in life, you go to the city. Because back home, they know when you used to get in fights on the playground and run home crying to mama or whatever the case. But then he begins to say, you want me to heal myself? You want me to do miracles here? You're going to reject me. And then he begins to talk in an offensive manner. They were Jews. They didn't want to have nothing to do with no Samaritans, like we just read. They certainly didn't want to have anything to do with Gentiles, because they're God's chosen people. I mean, we belong to the first church. Our denomination's the best. But he tells them that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But Elijah wasn't sent to any one of them except to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and unto a woman that was a widow. And you can read it in the book of Kings, and I've taught this. And then he said there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha, that second prophet, and not a single one of them were cleansed, not a one of them were healed, except Naaman the leper, a Syrian. Not a Jew, but a Gentile. Just a few minutes before, they were saying, what he said was great. And then after he says this, they grab him by the arms and the men hustle him out and they're making for the cliff and they're going to throw him off. They're going to throw him off a cliff. Again, there's a contrast. There's a contrast. But it says that he passed right through the midst of them. And they didn't know where he went. But it says that he went his way and he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. And again, he taught on the Sabbath days. And it says in verse 32 that they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He preached with power. He preached with authority. And in another place, they remarked that, hey, you preach with authority and not like those scribes. When Herod came and said, hey, where's Christ going to be born? They said, oh, in Bethlehem. And they went back to scribbling their notes. Not, what? Yeah. The king's coming. He's going to be born. No. Oh, yeah, over there. And he went back to the notes. They didn't care. They didn't care. Again, this contrast. Who will receive God? Who will listen? Who will yield? Who will heed? Who embraces the Lord and his word? And who either doesn't care or wants to throw the Son of God off a cliff. But it says that in Capernaum, in verse 33, in the synagogue, in church, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. Man, this sounds familiar. Let us alone. What have we to do with you? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are, that devil said, the Holy One of God. The devil's testifying again of who Jesus is. But this is how you study the Word of God. You compare one passage to another. You contrast one passage to another. And I want to encourage you to do that. When you study, when you find a passage that's interesting, you're reading in Matthew and you say, well, I almost remember something in Psalms about that. Then get a concordance or get a Bible search program or something and look it up. See if you can find it. Compare and contrast. And as we're studying this series, Fulfilled and Astonished, is there something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New? Did Jesus fulfill something that you can read about in Exodus or Zechariah or what have you? Compare, contrast, and understand. But here in Luke chapter 4, it says that he cast out that devil in church. And they were all amazed, in verse 36, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out, it says. And the fame of him, the fame of Jesus Christ, went out into every place of the country round about. And you can read in verse 32, it says that Jesus, everywhere he went, he healed the sick, he cast out devils. But in this chapter, we see in his hometown, he claimed to be who he was, and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. But he went to this other town in Capernaum, the next county or parish over or whatever, and they gladly heard him. They gladly heard him. And we've seen in this passage, and also when we looked at the woman at the well in John chapter 4, how these two passages compare and contrast to our study here in Matthew chapter 8. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.